Important point made here in the purport by Srila Prabhupada is that the five brothers are known in the world as regular brothers. The five brothers are known as the Pandavas, the sons of Pandu. Although Pandu was not the biological father of any of them. Nakul and Sahadev were twins, so they had the same biological fathers. Although I guess the Ashwini Kumars, they both impregnated Madri. So they also had different biological fathers, although the Ashwini Kumars are so much connected that they're always mentioned together. And the biological mother of the twins, Nakul and Sahadev, was different to that of the three elder brothers. Kunti was the mother of the three elder brothers and Madri of the two younger. But they were, although they actually had no biological connection, they were known as brothers, as regular brothers. There's a saying in English, it's probably there in every language, a similar saying, to talk about stepmotherly treatment. That if the father marries again, then and he already has children, then the new wife, she often doesn't like very much the children of the previous or former, or maybe current wife also, but of the elder wife, you could say, in that case. So that wasn't the case with Kunti. She looked after all the sons as equally. On the death of Pandu, there was a discussion between Kunti and Madri as who will follow him to the next world. In other words, who will burn with him on the funeral pyre. They both wanted to go. They both would have gone, but because they were young children, they thought one of us should stay. So, such thoughts are unthinkable in the modern age, especially in the West. They can't understand this at all. But that was based on the understanding that the body is anyway temporary, and the wife's devotion to the husband is such that she literally cannot live without him. She thinks... he's gone somewhere else, so I have to go there to serve him. But this is unimaginable in the modern world. Although, still, if it wasn't banned in India, it would probably still go on. But that has been misused also. I think it was in the 1980s in Rajasthan, that, what was her name? Roop Kanwa, something like that. There's a young Rajasthani girl. Yeah, it was a big issue at the time because she was young. Her husband died unexpectedly, and she went into the fire and followed him. Roop Kanwa, I think, something like that. Whatever, it doesn't matter. And all the local villagers, exalted her as a goddess for doing that. But the Indian government didn't like that. One reason was because it became very bad international news. And then they arrested her parents for having forced her to do so. Although it seems from the original reports there was no such thing. She herself decided to do that. So like that, there are many things in the in the Vedic culture which are just, they don't fit at all with the Western or modern ideas. Just like I saw recently, the David Cameron, the Prime Minister of Britain, he made a statement that forced marriages are equivalent to slavery. And he wanted to stop that, any trace of that going on in the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland and whatever else little things they have here and there. Although even in my childhood, in rural Ireland, there's still some parents, they wouldn't allow their children to marry, at least without their permission. They could find their own spouse, but the parents would have to give permission. Otherwise, it couldn't take place. So in the Western culture, the idea of the freedom of the individual is very prominent, which is a bluff. They don't give you, they force you to take their education. So you're psychologically a slave of their ideas. They pulverize you with all kinds of signboards all over the place, pulverize your consciousness, buy this, buy that. Their whole way of life is based on the idea that we're only here to enjoy ourselves. And though they're so insistent that you have to do it like this, their society is actually completely, people are messed up. It's very badly messed up. I was just thinking yesterday about how, it's a regular thing as a sannyasi traveling here and there. We hear about mismanagement within ISKCON and how devotees have been mistreated and all this kind of thing. It's widespread. At least the complaints are widespread. But just look at the whole world all around us. It's just such a complete mess. So although people are also a complete mess. And just like yesterday, you were saying that your wife's parents are happy that she's normal, but I couldn't understand what you meant by normal and whether she normal. I thought in normal, in their understanding, should be like a drunkard and a nonsense and everything else. Even people who don't like the modern way of life, they just have to adjust to it. If your children, they get married and divorced 3-4 times, and the older generation, they wouldn't do that, but what can you do, There's nothing you can do about it. I was 2-3 years ago, about 3 years ago in America, I was staying with one godbrother and godsister. So she'd been married before she joined the movement, and she said, "Oh, my son's visiting." So she introduced me to her son. And I asked, "Well, is he married?" And she said, "He's a homosexual." Wow. I think that must have been before they allowed homosexuals to marry also. But she's a staunch follower of Prabhupada, she's a very good devotee. But what can you do if you can't stop him if he's, there's nothing you can do about it. One of my disciples was saying also, I have my sons, but I don't know what will happen in future. They might become homosexual. She gave the, you just don't know. So of course, this speaking like this might actually be illegal in many countries to express even disapproval of homosexuality. A few years ago, arriving in London in one of the airports, there was a sign that in this country, speaking against people on racial grounds or against homosex is illegal, and you'll get arrested for doing that. So we don't hate homosexuals, but we understand that there's something wrong there. It's Vallabhacharya says that is due to atikama, just like extreme lust. So, I mean, that's just one example of, I mean, the whole society, the values are very different to what they used to be. There's some things are probably better than they used to be. For instance, we don't have burning people at the stake for being a Catholic or for being a Protestant. There was, from Brno, there was someone, I can't remember his name, he was like some Christian, yeah, I read a history of Christianity, and he went to meet Calvin in Zurich thinking that he'd get some sympathy, and Calvin had him burned at the stake. In the history of Christianity, he was quite a big figure at one time. I can't remember his name. You don't know it at all. Oh, we're not from Brno. Where is he from?
South Czech.
Oh, okay.
Maybe he was
from the Brno kingdom or something like that. So recently, there was October last year, that's still fairly recent, there was this court case in Russia against Bhagavad Gita as it is. And the prosecutors, they said, well, we're not against Bhagavad Gita, but we're against this edition. And actually, from the modern perspective, Srila Prabhupada's books, or at least some, I mean, well, they're not racist in the sense like Mein Kampf or something like that, but there are certain statements in there which in the modern context would be considered offensive, racist. I mean, there's only one statement I can think of in which Prabhupada says that generally the black is considered low class and condemned black skin. White is considered better. So there are many statements which would be considered sexist. It means like discriminating against women. And there are there's one statement in Prabhupada's books which would be considered homophobic. Which is a relatively new word made up by homosexuals. And it's a fact that in this way, among other ways, Srila Prabhupada's books are very provocative. In fact, after that Roop Kanwa episode, the Indian government made a law that any literature which supports sati should be banned. Sati means the practice of a wife burning herself, or in more recent times, being forcibly burned on the funeral pyre of her husband. So, actually, according to the laws, Prabhupada's books probably should be banned in India and overseas. I thought this case in Russia, I thought this is great. Now we have a forum, an international forum, in which all the controversial things Prabhupada said, now we have to preach about it and uphold it. But unfortunately, the Indian parliament became, fortunately, it's mixed. The Indian parliament became seized of the issue. And they took it as an affront against the Bhagavad Gita. Whereas the prosecutors in Tomsk, in Siberia, said that, well, we're not against Bhagavad Gita, but we're against this edition because of the comments that Prabhupada makes. So probably under pressure from big shots in Moscow, the case had to be dropped, the case in Tomsk. Seeing that the Russian government didn't, most likely they told them just to drop it because, you know, the whole Indian parliament getting upset over what the Russian government didn't see as such a big issue. It didn't make political sense to have a skirmish with the Indian government. But actually, if it had come to the certain statements being analyzed, and it definitely goes against much that the modern world considers to be correct. Or we could say the dominating politically correct outlook. So Srila Prabhupada's teachings, they are undoubtedly a great challenge for the modern world. Srila Prabhupada came to America dressed in his sannyasi cloth. And when people dress so differently, it's symbolic. Our dress, however a person dresses, it speaks something of their values. If someone dresses, as you might say, an ordinary person of the Western world, then people just take him to be an ordinary person of the Western world. If someone dresses with a suit and tie like a businessman, he's letting people know, I'm a businessman and you should take me seriously. And people do. They tend to respect the dress, someone who's dressed like that. If someone dresses as a punk rocker, still have punk rockers? They're still going on. So.
Very popular.
Hmm?
Still very popular.
Okay.
Say the banker.
So it is a statement of discontent with the status quo. So Srila Prabhupada's, or any following Srila Prabhupada, those devotees who dress in the typical Hare Krishna style, in the Western world, it makes a statement, a very clear statement, that we want to be different. In India, still today, among the women, to dress in a sari is still normal. Maybe in another generation it will be unusual. To dress in a dhoti for men, that's unusual now. And it means generally someone who is either old or religious, Hindu religious. But it's not a statement it's a statement of traditionalism, not rebellion against society. But Srila Prabhupada openly said that this Krishna conscious movement is meant for bringing in a different, completely different understanding and culture and whole way of life. And many of the things that Srila Prabhupada said, they're really anathema for the whole modern way of thinking. I mean, even say, the most basic teaching that the soul is eternal and there is reincarnation, still most people don't accept that. They have difficulty with that. This idea of sati, even though in Rajasthan in the 1980s it was, at least in that area, it was considered an extremely pious act. But, most people, they can't really, they can't understand it at all, including probably most of our devotees. I mean, I don't think we're going to introduce that in ISKCON at least not very soon. So, that's a great challenge to preach Krishna consciousness in the Western world. Just a couple of days ago in Paris, after the Rath Yatra there, I gave a speech after the Rath Yatra. And quite a few people were standing around and listening nicely. And they joined us before and after the lecture, I asked the people to join in chanting Hare Krishna with us, and many of them did. And I spoke of how Krishna wants us to be happy. Real happiness is love. But there is no real love in the material world. It's limited and imperfect. And this material world is full of suffering. And pretty much everyone who... It was a short lecture, about 20 minutes, including with French translation. But pretty much everyone who was at the beginning of the lecture was at the end of the lecture also. They stayed for it. And they seem to appreciate it. So that's nice. But to take people further, And that is the challenge. That people in a... many people in a general way might like or appreciate the Krishna consciousness. Just like the other day, Bill Clinton, who I think... you've probably all heard the name of Bill Clinton, right? Mm-hmm. About, what, let's see. A few, about... must be about, what, 15 years ago? He was the President of the United States. So he saw it, he was wandering around in Venice Beach, Los Angeles area, and he saw a devotee who was dressed as a devotee distributing books. Actually, that's a sacred area. Prabhupada used to walk there regularly. Although it's not really that very sacred if you go there, but in that sense it's sacred. But and there were so many people around, but seeing the devotee, he walked up to the devotee, shook his hand, and all the he was attracted to the devotee, and then he the devotee gave him a Bhagavad Gita as it is, and he seemed to be very happy to get that. And there are many people who have in the West who have I mean, they're not really devotees, but they like, you could say, they like devotees, or they have a general, they have some good feeling toward devotees. Many people have been to music festivals where devotees have, you know, they've distributed prasadam, and people appreciate that. That Woodstock festival is there in Poland, just coming up in a few days, isn't it? Or is it going on now? Or where the devotees have a major presence, and then you have many people are very appreciative of the devotees. And from doing Harinam regularly, people, they really appreciate them. Many people appreciate. Some people don't like it, but many people do. But getting people from that general appreciation, they say, you know, devotees, you know, nice, happy people, doing something different, vegetarian, music, and, you know, but to get them from that general appreciation to being a surrendered devotee of Krishna, well, there's a big difference between being generally appreciative and being someone who's committed to Krishna consciousness. And if Srila Prabhupada had not taught us the absolute truth, it would have been a lot easier to bring people to something resembling Krishna consciousness. And often that's directly or indirectly, often that's directly said nowadays, or indirectly just done anyway. You just, when preaching Krishna consciousness, you just leave out the things which people don't like, and then it's easier to preach. Which in the beginning, like that, you know, that lecture I gave in France, it's not like in the beginning we say, you all have to give up drinking tea and coffee and fully dedicate your life to Krishna. We don't start off preaching like that. I mean, there may be some cases, but generally not. Generally not recommended to start preaching like that. They don't drink tea because the British drink tea. They have to drink something different. They drink coffee. Anyway, that's an anti-French joke. Anyway, leave that bit. Leave that bit out. That's my conditioning there. So it's not like we go into the cafes in Paris and throw one table over, jump up on another table and shout out, "Stop drinking coffee!" So preaching means step by step. The creating a general impression is a beginning level of preaching. What we say, well, even our, yeah, in our doing Harinam, distributing prasadam, that serves to create goodwill for devotees. And it's not even that we have to emphasize things like sati. I mean, it's not that we go around saying, restore sati, the world will never be perfect unless the wives burn on the... you know, it's a major important point. I think for the rest of this Kali Yuga, we can probably do very well without it. But Srila Prabhupada was clearly emphasizing in his social agenda the point of traditional family relationships, that the husband is the head of the family, the wife assists him, like that. She's submissive was the word that Srila Prabhupada generally used. And Srila Prabhupada had a whole vision of Varnashram society, which certainly goes against the whole modern way of life and the modern way of thinking. And many people, they have difficulty with the idea of there being social stratifications, brahmanas, kshatriyas, vaishyas, and shudras. And even within our society, if we have to introduce varnashram, which means that at least within the social structure, although we recognize everyone as a Vaishnava, then some devotees are going to have to be designated as brahmanas, kshatriyas, vaishyas, and shudras. And I don't think anyone's going to be like, well, not that many are going to be so enthusiastic to be designated as shudras. So it's undoubtedly a difficult task to introduce all of Srila Prabhupada's teachings. But that doesn't mean that we should give up the whole endeavor to do so. It might seem, if we don't preach or emphasize all the things that Srila Prabhupada did, we might have more success in preaching. But that would be superficial. Because if we don't present what Srila Prabhupada presented, then we're not really fully following the parampara. And if we don't follow the parampara properly, then we don't get the full mercy, we don't get full Krishna consciousness. So, we should try to understand the teachings of Srila Prabhupada very carefully. There are many points which are different. I mean, the whole outlook is different to that of the modern world, because the very basis of understanding, the understanding that Srila Prabhupada gave us, is that human life is meant for developing pure, reviving our dormant, pure devotion to Krishna. And everything else follows from that principle. Everything being based on Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. And in the modern world, there are, you know, hundreds and thousands of philosophies. But the basic idea is that, well, we're here to enjoy ourselves. And everyone should have an equal right to degrade themselves as much as they like. Of course, they don't consider it degrading, but that's how we see it. That's how we see it. Everyone should have the right to pursue happiness to the full extent. And happiness for them is synonymous with sense enjoyment, according to their misunderstanding. So be convinced of Srila Prabhupada's mission by studying his books. Distributing his books is the great... what's that word? It's the revolutionary activity. There's some other word I was thinking. It's like subterfuge, or like... It's like a, people can't recognize it's revolutionary, but it is. And if we preach this message as it is, as Srila Prabhupada did, then we can expect there may be so much opposition. At Rathiyatra, Srila Prabhupada spoke like in a very, you could say, an encompassing manner. It comes in, man. Well, I mean, to reach everyone. I was using it to mean like that. But often when he spoke with individuals, he often spoke with intellectuals, and he would speak in a very pointed manner. See the difference? Encompassing means very wide, and pointed means just on some particular point, which in a sense is risky. If you tell leaders, you meet leaders of society, and you tell them that, well, actually, you're just like Srila Prabhupada met this mayor of Paris and more or less told him that your whole society is demoniac. So it's risky. I mean, they could have tried to close our movement down, which they did a few years later, practically, in France. So preaching means that we want people to change. And the change of consciousness, to give up sense gratification and fully surrender to Krishna, that is a great challenge to bring people to that point. Within our movement also. We shouldn't just keep it at the level of, you know, just chant Hare Krishna and smile. We have to go further than that. Any question?
I should like to ask about, in regard to this Vanashram, that we should somehow develop it and to point into someone has to be Brahman, Shudra, Shankara.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes it's difficult because we are all Vanashankaras and it's mixed, you know. Actually, if I consider from my point of view, it's difficult for me, you know. These tendencies. How can he then, you know, actually establish the Vanashram even in the society?
Say it in Czech. Czech and Slovak is the same language, is it? More or less. That's a fact. It's difficult to imagine even how we can establish Varnashram, as we're all mixed up. Are you a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra? Don't know. Actually, you're more than any. You're a Vaishnava. But Srila Prabhupada said, for the sake of instructing society, we need to introduce this. Srila Prabhupada, while he often said that it's necessary to introduce Varnashram, he also said it's not possible to introduce it to the full extent as previously. He also said it's possible by Harinam Sankirtan. The Yuga Dharma will... if the Yuga Dharma is there, then the worldly Dharma, Varnashram Dharma, that can follow. If the Yuga Dharma is established strongly. So what you're doing is a good step. Step out of the city and onto the land. Grow your food. Live, offer it to Krishna. Live simply. So, that's a good step. How exactly everything will unfold, that we ourselves don't know. But Srila Prabhupada, we don't know all the details, how it will unfold. Just like Srila Prabhupada went to the West and he preached Krishna consciousness, but he didn't know exactly how it was going to unfold, but he took it... I mean, he had plans, but he also had to take it step by step because the world doesn't follow our plans exactly.
I'm just thinking about the point that Harinam Sankirtan is important for establishing Varnashrama, but when we move to the land...
Just a second.
When devotees start to move to the land and they want to develop this kind of living in the nature and growing their own food, this Harinam Sankirtan is often decreased. They don't have so much time, at least in the beginning, like this. So it seems to be... Brahmacharis in the city, they have a lot of time for Harinam Sankirtan, but devotees who want to live in the land, they don't have much time for doing so, and we see they don't do so much.
Well, you said that Harinam Sankirtan is important for understanding Varnashram. But it should be understood that the Harinam Sankirtan is what is to be preached, and Varnashram is a social support for that. It's not our main purpose to introduce Varnashram. But as Srila Prabhupada has given it so much importance, then we also do so. To provide a social platform in which it'll be easier for people to take to Krishna consciousness. Because it's a social platform, then which is centered around grihasthas, then they may not have as much time in the beginning for Harinam Sankirtan as do brahmacharis in our movement.
Okay.
Yeah, because brahmacharis are free to do so. Grihasthas, they have to spend time in social and economic activities. But that's another point, is not everyone's going to remain brahmachari forever. So if those who are grihasthas, they're busy with other activities which are not directly hearing and chanting about Krishna, well, that's going to be there even when varnashram is established. They have to perform some social and economic activities. Anything else?
One more technical point regarding these Pandavas. Generally, we know that Nakula and Sahadeva are sons of Ashwini Kumaras, but recently we have read in Bhagavatam, first canto, Srila Prabhupada writes that Yudhishthira is the son of Yamaraj, and like this, and Nakula and Sahadeva were begotten directly by Pandu in the womb of Madri.
Yeah, you can translate that.
Yeah,
it's at least according to the text of Mahabharata, it's a technical error. Unless there's some other edition of Mahabharata in which that's stated. I'm not aware of that, if there is such an edition. So?
Recently I was reading Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, 6th chapter, where at the end of the shloka it says that the Lord Vrishabhdev's pastimes are most famous than the Lord Krishna and Lord Ramchandra. So, not to doubt the Bhagavatam or not the Prabhupada's purpose, but how can we understand that? Until I came to ISKCON,
yeah, you never heard of Rishabh, but it may be in some certain context. Or it may be stated just to give importance, like that. The thing is, there are many statements which have to be understood contextually also. That's why, reading Srila Prabhupada's books, you also have to apply one's intelligence in doing so.
And with regard to yesterday's lecture, which was very inspiring also, I heard about from Chaitanya Charitamrita that Shivananda Sena also liberated from dog. Mm. Even feeding him and...
Shivananda Sen liberated a dog. Yeah. So?
So how can we understand that one point is that we shouldn't pet in our house the dogs and we shouldn't...
You don't pet dogs, but Shivananda looked after one. So that's the general injunction is there for us. And there are some, that is an exception. But you follow the general injunction. Generally, if you just happen to meet a young girl, an unmarried girl, you don't perform a sexual act with her. Right? Parashara did, and Vyasa was born. Generally, we don't keep pet dogs. Shivananda, he fed a dog, and that dog went back to Godhead. Don't take the exception to be the rule. Generally, you don't fight with your guru. Bhishma did. So, the exceptions are recorded in Shastra because they are exceptional. So when you come to the level of Parashara and Bhishma and Shivananda Sen, then the question of performing such exceptions come. In the meantime, follow the rules. If you don't want to, then you drink deadly poison like Shiva. You want to do something different, which normal people don't do, then drink deadly poison. You can be late. Think you're on the level of Lord Shiva? Then do that. You want to imitate Krishna and dance with other men's wives? Why imitate Krishna? Imitate Shiva. Drink some poison. The rules are for you and me. Others who are on a higher level, they may not follow, but they get a good result. For us who are on a lower level, if we don't follow, we won't get a good result.